Welcome, everybody. This is Derek White Sky Cloud, your host on Spiritual Journeys with White Sky Cloud. This radio show, this new program that I'm actually running today, is all to do with your spiritual journeys. And it's based on everything that you desire in this life, and people have always wanted to share their stories. And with this, it brings in a lot of great information for the public and anybody who's out there. We know in this world, we're always used to someone who's very famous that wanted to share their story, but we feel that, I've always felt that there's a little guy out there who wanted to share his or her story with the rest of the world by actually having to deal with the journey of their own. So also let you all know that this actually is a syndicated radio talk show, and we are being picked up by satellite. And to let you all know, this is what this whole show is all about. So we have a new guest, our first guest, coming up in the next couple of minutes. This fellow's name is Dennis Spaulding, and he has written a book about his son. The name is Sean, and the book itself is called My Search for the Afterlife. And it explores the real communication between father and deceased son. This is how a person feels after the son has passed or a sibling has passed in the family. And I read this book when Dennis sent this to me, and it's a phenomenal story. I mean, Dennis can make this part two easily. Anyways, he's from Des Moines, Washington. And I want to share a little bit of this information that Dennis has written to me. Many feel that when a loved one dies, they are lost to them forever, or at least until they reach the next world, and if there is one. After the tragic death of his son, Sean, Dennis Spaulding set out on a mission to prove there is a life after death and that spirits can be reached. And Dennis's new book is called My Search for the Afterlife, A Trail of the Clues, now available through Author House. So anybody wants to go to Author House, you can check it out on there. And uniquely authored from beyond the grave and co-authored in this world, chronicles their miraculous journey to communicate beyond death. This story focuses on his struggles from the deep abyss of despair and desolation to a point of being able to live once again. And his spiritual, not religious, development begins to become a stronger presence in his life, which basically Mr. Spaulding has said. And the book is a father's journey into the mysteries of afterlife in search of his son. Not a science fiction novel, this is a reality. It's based on hard facts and working theories developed by Spaulding in this quest to both heal his wounds and regain contact with his son. Through the help of renowned medium Susan Northrup, Spaulding is able to establish contact with Sean. And he explains how a few days later he stumbled upon a number theory which he feels helps his son and other spirits validate the messages they send across the world. With the help of Northrup, Spaulding was able to nurture this psychic connection and maintain contact with his son, Sean. The book explains how the number theory helped him lead deeper into the spiritual realm and continue on his quest for more answers. And the result of these strange wanderings into the world beyond, life only strengthens faith and offers comfort to those ailing from the loss of friends and family. Spaulding currently lives in Washington State, where he continues to mine the afterlife for answers. Although My Search for the Afterlife, the book, is already working on the second, Messages for the Next World, his signature, our message, is simply, your loved ones are all around you on a daily basis. You don't always need a medium or a psychic in your life to communicate with them, and they see what you're doing, and they know what you're thinking, Spaulding says. All you have to do is talk to them. It's their job to make you aware they're around. It's your job to find out how they're trying to communicate this awareness. And then for more information, you can actually go to www.mysearchfortheafterlife.com. It's mysearchfortheafterlife.com. And we'll have Dennis also give us the phone number down a little later on in the show. With no further ado, I will let you everyone know that we're welcoming Dennis right now. Welcome, Dennis. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Derek. Real good. Good to be on your show.
Excellent. Now, how I'll let everyone know out there how Dennis actually I made contact with him is that he actually was interested in hearing about what I did as a medium, because apparently that's how I heard from him. And when then Dennis heard that I had a radio show as well, so I let him let everyone know that, you know, I said, you know, being the first the new opening of this new radio show, I wanted Dennis to be the very first of my radio show to basically share with the public that it's actually this kind of stuff I want to share, that does happen. And, you know, we're not the little guy type, so to speak, but I felt that Dennis needs to share this with the whole world, not just local communities. But I think we've all had a loss of a loved one somewhere in our life, haven't we, Dennis?
Oh, definitely. And when it's your child, it really hurts, because that's not the way it's supposed to go. You know, parents are supposed to go first, or grandparents, whatever you are. And then your children or your grandchildren are the ones that are supposed to be at your graveside mourning and, you know, wishing to see grandpa more and all that. It's not you sitting over that gravesite tossing the last piece of dirt and watching that coffin go down.
Yeah, and I understand it's very hard to accept that. I mean, you think about it, even as a medium, we're not perfect either, because there's people that I know that are professionals like myself that we still have a hard time accepting the fact that we have lost a loved one. And the word loss, I mean, basically it's a physical loss, not the spiritual loss, but the physical loss.
Right.
And I feel that, you know, what your book has done, Dennis, is actually has opened up even more doors for people, because I know you've affected a lot of people throughout the years since you've written this book. How long has this book been out?
Well, actually, it came out in August of last year. It took about 2 or 3 years. It was, you know, I was working on it at that point and
yeah,
everything. And it originally started out as a short story, about 86 pages long.
Uh-huh.
And my intent was, one of the mediums that I had been working with, I had some thoughts of thinking, well, originally it started out as a journal. I was just keeping notes. And then when I thought, well, I should tell people about this, that would be a good idea to share, because I could help people that way. So I wrote it as a short story, about 86 pages. And I was thinking, if I shared it with a medium that wrote books, she could take my story and maybe two other people that have stories to tell.
Uh-huh.
Intertwine them all together in the way she would write, and then it would get published that way. But I couldn't interest a certain person I was after at the time. I think I talk about it in the book a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was meant to be, because that story is also in the book of why that didn't happen. And when the realization came that, well, maybe this is supposed to be our story, meaning Sean and myself,
uh-huh,
then I got the idea. I said, well, if it's got to be a book, then I got to break it down into chapters. Mm-hmm. And here's 90 pages. I said, okay, now how am I going to break something like this down into chapters? So I did. I broke it down into a little bit. And then all of a sudden, this information just started flowing in from 90 pages, went to 120, 136, 180, 190, over 200, and it just keeps on going. So I had to cut it off where I cut it off at, you know, for book number one. And that's why I already know what book number two is, and why I basically say it's uniquely authored from beyond the grave, because that's where that information is coming from. And I kind of prove it in book two. But that's kind of how it started out.
Great. Now, the thing is that I also want to ask you a question, too, is that when you did get the book out, when you brought it to the publisher, how did they respond to this when you... Did you share anything with them regarding this information at all?
Oh, no. See, the publisher that I have, they're basically called the print-on-demand. They're not the standard publishing company that if you submit a manuscript, they'll look at it, reject it, you know, send you out these 200 rejections when you're sending your manuscript around. I did that for a while, for about a year's time.
Uh-huh.
And I take rejection quite well. I mean, people don't understand the story that I had to tell, and you send it to their editors to read it, and they're not really sure where you're going with this. And so, you know, I got a lot of rejection slips, and there's a story in there in the book of how I came about Author House.
Yeah.
You know, this is a story where the messages came to me, and intuitively is how my son and I basically communicate, and then the signs with the numbers and other things that I can talk about and that are in the book. That's basically how we communicate. And that's how I was led to Author House. Also, I'm 60 years old, and I started thinking, wait a second, I've got a message that I need to tell people that can help people around the world. I don't have time to play sending in the manuscript, getting rejected for the next 2 or 3 years, because once you're accepted by a publisher, then it's going to take maybe a year, year and a half, 2 years before it's even published.
Exactly.
So that was behind my thinking also.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know what that's like because I'm an author myself. So, I mean, it is difficult because I've had authors say to me that, you know, we want to edit it our way, but if you're doing specific writings the way it's supposed to be written and then they're telling you what they want, you know what, and they'll take this out and put that in, take that
right,
out.
Right, that doesn't work. Yeah.
It doesn't work. No.
No.
But also, I want to promote AuthorHouse.com because it's spelled AuthorHouse.com. And the book is called My Search for the Afterlife, written by Sean and Dennis Spaulding. You know what? This is absolutely phenomenal because, you know what, I really do give you absolute pat in the back is that you even got your son's name on there saying it's written with your son.
Well, the story on that, I mean, I originally, you know, like I said, the book was about him. And I had my name on the cover. My son now, Sean's brother, Travis, did the artwork on the cover. I told him what I was visioning in my mind, what I wanted, and he went with it. And I said, I want a cover that's going to draw people to it and say, pick me up and read me. But the name on it, Sean, came about. This is kind of moving ahead for book number two at the beginning. But what happened, I had a reading with a medium who was living in Fort Myers, Florida, and I live in Seattle. The only thing he knew about me was my name is Dennis. I had a one-hour phone reading on a Saturday, and my wife, Wanda, was going to be on the phone with us.
Uh-huh.
4 days before this reading, I was standing in my bathroom looking down at a tube of Crest toothpaste depleted and two vials of Colgate upside down. I toss a Crest away into the wastebasket, and my thought at the time, inward, not outward, was I hope my wife has some toothpaste in her bathroom, or I'm going to have to go to the store and buy some. That's 4 days before the reading. 2 days before the reading, I'm at one of these grocery stores around here. It's called Alverson, and I saw a long line by the meat department. And I went over there. I said, wow, everything's 50% off. So I loaded up my cart with meat for the freezer. I hadn't done this in years. Well, the reading takes place on Saturday, and we're going on. And I noticed my son coming through just by stuff this medium had been telling me. And then all of a sudden he goes, your son wants to call you Sam. I said, Sam? He said, yeah, you know, Sam, like Sam the Butcher in the old Brady Bunch movie. Any reason for that? I said, well, I was just at the meat market a couple of days ago, got a lot of meat. He said, well, that's good validation. I think he saw you there. I says, okay, cool. And then a little ways farther on, he goes, this doesn't make sense, so I'm just going to tell you what he's telling me. I said, okay. He says he wants you to go to the store, buy some toothpaste. It doesn't matter whether it's Crest or Colgate. He says, does that mean anything? My wife goes, no. And I says, yes, it does. He goes, really? And I go, yes, trust me, you're really good. I said, give yourself a pat on the back and let's move on. I says, you are good. So, yeah. And so he moves on. And then all of a sudden, a little bit later, he goes, now remember, this guy doesn't know me from Adam. He
yeah.
knows I paid for a reading, and this is what he's giving me. Then he goes, are you writing a book? I just start smiling. I go, yes. He says, your son wants to know why his name is not on the front cover in front of your name since he's given you all this information. You know, and I go, oh, I get the goosebumps and all this stuff. Then I start defending myself, say, wait a second, the book's about him and this and that. I'm going on and on, whatever I can think of. And he starts laughing like that, like you're doing. And I said, what's going on? He says, well, while you were defending yourself, I was kind of psychically asking your son, was he serious about what he was saying? He goes, no, I busted my dad's chops in real life. He said, why stop now? So that made me think a couple of days later. I was just sitting back, and I looked up at the sky, and I just talked with him. I says, you know, you really want your name on that cover, don't you, for everything you're doing? And I said, I think that's a great idea. I called Author House because they were right in the middle of printing the cover up.
Uh-huh.
And I says, I need it changed. I says, I want Sean and Dennis Spaulding on the cover. They go, are you sure? I says, yes. I don't care what it costs. Charge me the extra expense. I want his name there. And from that point on, It's been great because it is not. It's our story, and that's the way I present it when I'm pitching it to other radio stations or other people that I want to talk to it. It's our story.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it came about.
Excellent. Well, I know very well that Sean's listening to us as we're talking, because I know very well that, you know, the next time you ever get a reading by another medium, they're going to talk about what we talked about here, I'm sure.
Okay. That sounds good. See, what I do, I don't always have a medium, reading with a medium for my, you know, for personal stuff to always, I want to be connected with Sean. I want to be connected with Sean or, you know, my other son. I do it as a chance for relatives that have passed over, for people that I know can get a message through, possibly to me, that I can pass on to them.
Now,
you know,
there's something else I need to ask you. You also had another child previously before your son.
Well, actually, the story is about Sean. Now, what the question you're asking me now, it shows how my journey continues to this day. Not even with book number two that's underway now, but is continuous. This, what you're talking about, happened in April. Our book right now, when I talk about it, helps people that have lost a child that has made it to this world. You know, and what I went through, the grieving process, and how I came about my search and developing my spirituality and so on and so forth. What you're talking about, I had a reading in April. It was a free reading that was given to me by a medium that was putting me on a radio program. And I explained to her what I just said, that I do this to... It's knowledge for me and my story. It helps my story and our journey to move along, because I learn something new from every reading. Well, halfway through this reading, this medium goes, "Do you have another child, or have you lost another child?" And my mouth kind of drops open. She can't see that. And then she goes, "Has anybody ever asked you this question before?" And I'm stunned. So I say, "No, this question has never been answered." And I said, "Yes, I do." So what had happened during the marriage to Sean's mother, she was from Trinidad, West Indies, and I met her when I was in the Marine Corps. I went into the Marine Corps 1 week after high school. You know, we fell in love down there, got married back in the States. We couldn't get married down in Trinidad. The Marine Corps wouldn't let you. And during the first 3 years of Sean's life, and it probably took place when he was about 2 years old, I had an affair with a lady, and I really loved this lady. It was my first real love, I felt, even more than Sean's mother. People are going to go, you know, say the nasty stuff about you, but that's what happens in life. And I've been married three times, so let the world know I'm happy with that. My third wife, her name is Wanda, and we've been happily married almost 28 years. So I guess the third time is a charm. But during the relationship with this lady, she became pregnant. And she was from Romania and Italy area. She had family there. And we kind of made the silent choice without saying it, where we both knew because of our circumstances what had to be done. So I relayed this whole story to the medium. And I said, "This is something I've been dealing with for 35 years, and the only two people that knew about this, I told Sean about 3 or 4 years before he passed away, what happened between his mother and I and so on and so forth, and about this abortion. And I told my wife, Wanda. She knew all about this." Well, this lady goes on and says, "Well, your son's name is Anthony, and he's about... he's about 2 years younger than Sean, and Sean is very happy to have his brother up there. They run around together, they're pals together, and they're so happy. Your family that is up there, your brother, your mom, dad, grandparents, they've all accepted Anthony." And he says, or she said, "And Anthony has come at this time because he knows in your situation right now you can handle this. He knows that he's conceived in love. He was conceived in love. And what his purpose is now is he knows for over 35 years, almost 35 years, you've been carrying around this heavy burden of the guilt, the shame, the anxieties, everything associated with an abortion or losing a child that never made it into this world. And what you've been silently suffering for all these years, he wants you to just let it go. He's very happy. He understands what the whole situation is. And this is his purpose for you to release it and move on with your life and also try to help other people in this situation. And like my story in the book now is written, I validate things. Basically, in the book, it's validated with numbers, my number theory or license plates or other different signs that I see. Well, the medium told me, because this happened in Cleveland, Ohio, she says, well, when we get done, why don't you investigate a few things? And I believe there's a he wanted to be called Anthony because he named himself after the Saint Anthony of Padua. And she says, I believe that there was a high school in Cleveland, Ohio called Saint Anthony of Padua. You might want to check that out to start on your, you know, validation thing, whatever it is you do. So after we hung up, I did. I started investigating. There is a high school in Cleveland called Saint Anthony of Padua. That's where I met his mother, and that's where she was conceived. Now, St. Anthony of Padua, when I did a readout on him and a printout, he got together in the latter years of St. Anthony of Assisi. They kind of joined together when you read the postscript there. Well, Anthony's mother and I spent time in Italy. We visited St. Assisi. Or St. Francis of Assisi. We went to his church and we sat on the hillside by his grave. So that was basically another validation for me that that was Anthony, you know, St. Francis of Assisi and St. Anthony of Padua. Well, when I printed out the information on both of these saints, St. Francis of Assisi in the upper left-hand corner showed St. Francis just sitting there with the kind of halo light around him, around all of the saints. When I printed out St. Anthony of Padua, the same thing, upper left-hand corner, there's a picture of him with a halo around him, but he's holding a male child, which blew me away when I saw that. So those were some of the validations that I put with this. About, I would say a week later, I was on a talk show I'd been on for almost, it was my seventh appearance. I was contracted for nine. And somewhere during that interview, she mentioned about my son in heaven, Sean, or in the afterlife. And I just said, well, I have two sons in the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And that shocked both of them. It was a co-host, husband and wife. And they couldn't say anything for 5 seconds. They go, wait a minute. You've never said this on any of your other interviews. I says, I just found out. And that was not planned. I don't know why I said it. I didn't know why I want to go on national radio and let everybody know about my personal life. Well, she started saying stuff about me and complimenting me, and what a help that is going to be to people that have lost a child through an abortion, a stillbirth, a miscarriage. And by the time I walked out of the radio station, I started thinking about it. I go, wow, that is another road we can travel together now, the three of us. Sean, with our story with Sean, his brother now, Anthony, with this other fork in the road, that just shows how this journey to help people continues. And so I started letting other radio personalities know, if I'm going to be interviewed, feel free to show how this journey has been upgraded now. Yeah. So that's kind of the story on that, but that'll be talked about in the book, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, that took so long, but you kind of hit a nerve there.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a reason for it, why I brought it up, because basically, I'm being guided to say this to you anyways. I wanted to be known, I guess. It came out of my mouth. I don't think you and I even talked about that.
I don't think we did that kind
of. No, we didn't. And I guess Anthony wants you to talk about him, too.
Now he's in competition with his brother. That sounds like the two of them would do that.
Yeah, this is typical. They're going, okay, this is some, I guess he's got some Italian background, so hey.
Yeah.
This is Anthony.
Yeah. Hey, bring me up now. Don't talk about Sean this whole program.
Yeah. Anyways. But to let everybody know that, we're going to share with everybody, the public out here, that, again, this is what Dennis talks about. If those of you just coming on right now listening in, his book is called My Search for the Afterlife, and it explores the real communication between father and deceased son. Now, I have talked to, through the years of my work, I've talked to a lot of people who actually have a lot of siblings they've lost, And I was on a journey up in Slave Lake in Alberta in Canada, and I would say in the area that these people live, out of the 40 readings that I read for that week I was there, I would say about two-thirds of those people have lost their siblings or lost their children through car accidents.
No.
Not as much of any other type, but just car accidents. And they've all had dealt with, again, losses of losing their child. And quite a few of them actually have said that they've had dreams about their children coming to visit them. Or they would give them a sign of something, whether it's either an animal or an insect or something that they felt was important to share. And on your book, I've noticed that you actually have a blue butterfly on the front of it. If you want to share with the rest of the people here, what is the significance of the blue butterfly?
Well, right now the blue butterfly totally reminds me, you know, of my son. You know, every time I see one. And what happened with the blue butterfly, I talk about this in the book. I had been divorced, I think it was probably at the 10-year mark or maybe a little bit longer, probably longer with his mother, where something happened and it was time for the book and all this other stuff going on that I felt I needed to let her know what I was doing, that something was being documented and written down about her son, that I had readings from reliable mediums, and this was said, they connected with Sean. I just wanted to bring her in on it, but it had been a long time since we talked. Well, at the very end of our conversation, Sean is buried in Warrior, Alabama, and once again, I live in Seattle, so we're quite far away. But at the end of our phone conversation, she mentioned to me that almost every time she goes to his gravesite, there it's in the back of a Catholic church in the cemetery, that a blue butterfly flies around her. And she associated that blue butterfly that is Sean, letting her know he's in a happier place, he's doing fine, and he's happy in his life. And so as I wrote the book and the story about that, I just wrote that, well, when I see a blue butterfly in the Pacific Northwest, then I'm going to know Sean's around me and things are going to be fine. Well, what had happened, one day I was driving home from work, and this was in March, and this was about 13 months after I had talked with his mom and had that blue butterfly she told me about. I drive into a Starbucks. I get out, and I see two college girls sitting out having coffee, one with her backside to me with her midriff bird as I'm walking up, and there's a giant blue tattooed butterfly. My first reaction is, wow, hi, Sean, how you doing? And then I just, you know, kind of went inside, got my normal Starbucks coffee that I normally get. Come walking outside, the girls are gone. I'm gone. Wow. Well, see, that to me is an event in my life that I call an event, something that happened. So I document just like I started to do when I did this book. So I got home and I started thinking. I said, when did I talk to Pat about the butterfly at the gravesite? Well, I went to look it up and it was February 2006, and I forget what the year was. And this was March 26. So right there, I got the 2-6 connection. I go, wow. So I know something's going on. A month later, I walk into my tower. I'm an air traffic controller right now, hopefully retiring pretty soon. And on my desk is a garden giant-sized blue butterfly. First thing I say, good morning, son. Second thing I say, okay, who put this here? Well, the only person in the tower at the time was a cleaning lady, a friend of mine. She'd been cleaning the tower for some time. Her father died, and she was at ends with her father when he died. So they had no communication at his time of death and everything. She was just totally dead set, didn't want to talk with her dad. Well, hearing my story and about Sean and everything going on in my life, she was beginning to make a turnaround. I was working with her, and I'm happy to say that she has a turnaround, and her and dad have joined together, and all this stuff is the outcome of that. But I walk upstairs, and I said, did you put something on my desk? She goes, yeah. I said, why? She goes, what do you mean, why? I says, why? She goes, you know, the blue butterfly, you talk with Pat, you know, and then at Starbucks and finding it. Now, she never knew the number, the date connection, the 26. She never knew that. And I said, good, you're paying attention in class. I'm happy to hear that. So I revealed to her about the 26, what I found out at Starbucks and that. Uh-huh. And she starts telling me that over the weekend, she came across a blue butterfly in one of the stores. She saw it. She thought about Sean and Pat and Starbucks, and I didn't buy it. Went on doing something else. A couple days later, she found herself back in the same store, and she was compelled to walk over there and buy that. I said, really? She says, yes. She says, it was like I was driven there. I had to buy that. And I says, oh, cool. She said, but that was Monday. I said, yeah. She says, that was the 26th? I said, oh, really? So when she left, I'm looking at these dates, and I go, the 26th. Well, let's see. 2 and 6 make an 8. And 3 events.
Yeah.
Had at the cemetery in February, Starbucks in March, and now there's ornament on my desk this month in April.
Uh-huh.
3 events times 8 is 24. Well, my son was born on the 24th, which the 24th is one of the second biggest numbers in my number theory. Now, if you take the month of February, which is 2, the month of March is 3, the month of April is 4, and add those together, it's a 9. Sean was born in September, September 24th. I'm sitting there going, wow, and I'm getting the goosebumps now because I know he's listening. So I'm sitting there going, that fits right with my theory on the date he was born. The number theory is based on when he was born, 9/24/68, and when he died, 3/14/93. The biggest number of the theory is the 14, which is the day he died. Well, the following month in May, I'm doing a, not a crossword puzzle, there's a word search puzzle or something like that where they give you the answer or something, and you're supposed to solve what it is. Well, what it was, it says something beautiful. And it turned out to be the answer was a butterfly. Well, I clipped that out. I put this with the equation. And if you add 5 for the month of May to the April, which is 4, March 3, and February 2, those 5 events, or 4 events, total 14.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I find it interesting is that your son is still making you buy things after he's passed. You know, if you think about it, as a father, mother and father, they, you know, the kids always want you to buy something for them.
Right.
Your son's still doing it.
I
want you to see, keep on buying blue butterflies.
Oh yeah. We buy them all the time. Every time we see them, we've got a cart occasionally we put up at the mall, a kiosk cart.
Yeah.
And my wife, when she's out shopping, she goes, oh, these magnetic blue butterflies, they go all over these metal signs we have, or the a bigger blue butterfly. Oh, yeah, blue butterflies, we buy that, or something pertaining to the number theory, the 14. We found some gold coins. We've got one that's from Trinidad, West Indies,
uh-huh.
You know, where I met his mother. And because of the date on the coin, we bought that because it fit within my number theory. It didn't say the 14, but I think it, I don't have it right in front of me here.
Yeah.
But it had something with the dates on it. And it, oh, yeah, definitely. Our mind is always thinking.
Oh, yeah,
like
we're, because, I mean, I've had one lady come and see me one time, and she thought it was kind of morbid. She thought herself was kind of morbid, where she's still buying things for her child after the child has passed away. Like, she made a small little altar for her.
Right.
And I said to her, that's not morbid, because your child's reminding you that, Mom, I'm still around.
Right.
And I'm still letting you know that it's okay, and if you want to buy things for me to remember me by, that's okay.
Right, and people
so
just have to try to understand that.
Yeah, because a lot of people say, you know, you come across psychologists or psychiatrists, and they say, you have to move on, you know, your child is gone for the last couple of years, you have to move on and let this go. You know what? It's the idea of moving on is remembering them, but if they choose to want you to remember them, these things are going to happen. You know,
right.
Even with balloons, for example, I had one lady, I had to make a stop to this one store. I didn't even know who she was. I'm walking in, and she's got these balloons. She's ready to take them outside this day to go out to the side of the beach. And I said, did you have a daughter that passed away? And she said, yes. And I said, she's going to give you a kiss when you release those balloons. She had no idea what I was talking about. But she went to the beach and came back, and she said, I understand what the kiss means. And I said, how was that? And she said, the balloon touched my face. It slapped me in the face real hard before it left.
Really?
Before
oh, wow.
It.
What a story.
So I knew then. I knew what she was talking about because she made the balloon touch her.
Wow.
So these things do happen. And it's interesting how it works that we always reminded that our children are still around us and even loved ones that are still around us. Now, what I like to share, too, with the public is I know everybody, there are people out there that are going to be kind of anxious wanting to phone in. So we will have open lines, too. And I'll let everybody know that the calling numbers we have is 877-876-5227 or 530-876-3222. It's on bbsradio.com. We have the shows under bbsradio.com. And our show here is called Spiritual Journeys of White Sky Cloud. And our guest today is Dennis Spaulding, who wrote the book called My Search for the Afterlife. And it's based about his research regarding the passing of his son and making contact with him throughout the time since the beginning. Now, those are I'm sure they're going to have a lot of people out there want to ask questions. So those who want to call in, you're more than welcome to. The phone lines are open, 877-876-5227 and 530-876-3222. Now, what I've also noticed, too, in your book, too, Dennis, is that we talked about the numerology sense of it, because remember when you called me and I mentioned to you that you got a lot of numbers, like basically numerology connected to you, I feel that this is probably what this is all about, that your son is using numbers. You know, like it sounds like, some people say it's kind of funny the way it sounds, but it sounds like, you know, I do numerology once in a while with people's births and deaths. You know, like as far as their birthday is concerned, the year that work they'll be having to say, for example, this is their year, so they'll take the 2006 and makes an 8.
Right.
And the birth date of this year, so they'll say, well, what kind of event you're going to have this year? What type of event this will be for this year only? So, you know, I find that numerology is actually quite interesting to be involved in. Just regarding even the relationship with your son, including the passing of him, because if you use that same number as a passing number with the year that he passed, including the birth date, you'd be surprised what you find. Now, your son, Sean, wants to acknowledge Travis for the cover.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if Travis has ever been acknowledged this way at all, but he wants it to be heard, let everybody know that Sean thanks Travis for making the wonderful cover on the book.
Oh, wow. He'll appreciate that. We're going to see
Travis
tonight.
Is kind of curious if Sean knows about this, and yes, he's thanking him for that. So this is actually, I'm looking at it, and I'm going, okay, this is interesting. Since you've been doing a lot of interviews, have there ever been any interviews on television at all for you?
No. I'm trying to work towards that if I can, because I know with our story and what we have to say, we can help a lot of people.
Yeah.
And if I can get on there and they can see the passion as well as hear the passion,
uh-huh.
You know, I think we can even reach out even farther than on radio. Not that radio's not good. Radio's good. I made my first worst investments when the book came out to get it known by advertising in the newspaper. I wasted $9,000 in newspaper ads to get this book recognized, and that was a mistake.
Oh, yeah. Well, we learned by our...
Oh, yes. That was a very costly mistake.
I know. That's like...
Yes.
But yours is self-published, and in a way it's self-published, because basically the company is picking you up, Arthur House, but are they publishing it out for you as well?
Well, yeah, right. Arthur House publishes, but what it is, it's a print-on-demand, which means when the bookstores want a copy, they call Author House. They say, okay, I want 10 copies because they got 10 orders in.
Okay.
Or Amazon.com calls, or Borders calls, or somebody calls into Author House and says, I'd like a copy. So they print whenever orders come in.
Okay.
It isn't like some standard publishing company where they'll print X amount of copies and it's stacked in a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
See, now the standard publishing companies ridicule the print-on-demand company because, oh, they're not this, they're not that, and so forth. But it's a new way of doing it, and I think it's a good way of doing it because the books are not printed until there's a demand. Now, the downside is, no, you're not with a standard publishing company. No, you don't have their advertising budget, you know, that can put your book on television or wherever they want with their bucks and stuff like that to promote it. It's out of your pocket to promote it. You don't talk about your book, no one's going to know about your book.
Exactly. That's
so I have a story that I need to tell, and no matter if it leads me to the poorhouse, that's fine. We have a message to get out to help people, and no matter what it takes, we're going to do it.
Well, it is this way. Now, I don't think you'll ever be into the poorhouse.
Oh, well, that's
because
good for me.
So far, you're doing quite well. I mean, sometimes we feel that we're getting down to our last dollar, so to speak,
right,
to get the book out, but I'm sure it will. It's out there. I feel that what's going to happen, there are people, a lot of people like yourself that will be out there trying to promote. We'll actually have talked about you and to get you out there for sure. Now, we were talking, and now also, too, we mentioned about other mediums. We have this one lady that I guess was your first medium you spoke to, Susan Northrup.
Right.
Suzanne Northrup, sorry. And she was your first reading on making contact with your son?
Right. What had happened, after I came out of my 4-year hole in the ground, that I wanted to, you know, talk about it and try to find my son, I started developing my spirituality. My two best friends were the bookstores and the library. I read everything I could on spirituality. Uh-huh. I came across Sylvia Brown one day on Montel Williams. I fell into her, whatever you want it, I fell under her, whatever it was, but I read all of her books, followed her constantly. I couldn't think of the word there. I just had one of those.
Well, I was going to say fingernails because she was...
Oh, God, yeah, she's got some long ones. Yeah, real long ones. But I started practicing all of her meditation techniques, anything I could. And several years down the line, I was probably 4 years with her or something, and an associate at work says, there's a new gentleman came on the air called John Edward crossing over. Have you ever seen him? And I said, nope, I'm with Sylvia Brown. You know, don't want to do it. You know, I'm going to find my son, and I'm getting closer and closer. Well, I was channel surfing one night before going to bed. My wife was in the kitchen, and that program came on, and I looked at it. I called for Juan to come in here and look at this guy. And I knew there I was at a psychic fork in the road. And actually in the book, I think it's chapter 3 or 4, it says, hello, John, goodbye, Sylvia.
Uh-huh.
And it was saying goodbye to Sylvia. Not that, Sylvia, you're not good. I mean, they're just two different ways of doing things. And what I saw John Edward, I knew that was going to be how I found my son. But the only thing we saw on John Edward was television program where he had the small group readings or whatever it is in the studio audience.
Yeah.
And he did some phone readings and some other things. So I started reading all of his books, and I read the book that the two professors in Arizona did a...
Dr. Gary.
Yeah, Dr. Gary Schwartz,
yeah,
the Afterlife Experiments.
Yeah.
Oh, that opened my eyes, too, how these folks work. Well,
yeah.
One day, like everything, I get this thought in my mind. Open the back of the book, pull it out, and look at the names of the mediums, and I did, and I saw the website, and it was Suzanne Northrup. You know, like I was being guided to read that. So I said, pull up the website. I pull up the website. I go right to her calendar. I'm looking. Wow, she's going to be in Seattle in 3 months. Boom, my hand's booking the ticket that very minute. So I'm anxious to get home this day and telling my wife, hey, we're going to go see an actual medium like John Edward. I don't know who she is, but I've read about her, and we're going to see for ourselves. Well, that night, I'm just wondering everything. Well, it's going to be a seminar. I never heard about a seminar on John Edward's show. I said, you know, common sense touch what a seminar is, but dealing with the psychic world, I wasn't sure what a seminar was. So I've got all these questions in my mind. Should I hit her with something? Should I sit up close? What should I do to get her attention, to get her reading? Well, the very next day, it was about 11 o'clock, and I realized John Edward had a show on or a rerun or something at 11 o'clock in the afternoon. So I was off, went downstairs, turned on the TV, and there he goes on. He says, well, today we're going to do something different. He says, I'm going to take you back to a seminar in Salt Lake City I did and show you how you can get a reading. It doesn't matter where you're at or what you do. He answered every question I thought about the night before. My jaw drops open, and I said, man, something's going on here. I'm being led down a path.
Uh-huh.
Well, when Suzanne Northrup came to town, her seminar is going to be on a Monday. For some reason, the following week or the week before, I'm drawn to her site once again.
Now, there's one more person, too. There's John Holland.
John Holland comes up later on down the line.
Okay.
But Suzanne is a person that developed my number theory. This is where the number theory first started.
Oh.
Since I wasn't in numbers or anything about that, I wasn't even thinking that, you know. And so a week before, I pull up a website. I see she's coming to town to do a couple TV interviews and a couple radio interviews. So since my wife's at work, you know, during the times these are on, I thought, well, I'll tape them you know, the TV one interview and also the radio one. So she gets an idea and I get an idea what this lady sounds like, how she works, and what to expect the following week. So my tape's ready to go for the radio. And the announcer says, you know, Suzanne's going to be here in just a few minutes. Anybody lost a loved one, dial this number. I wasn't expecting that. Boom, there's my hands again, going right out there dialing. I got through right away. Gentleman says, you lost somebody? I said, yeah. I said, you want the name? He said, no, stay on the line. When Suzanne calls your name, start talking. I said, okay. I was on hold for about 25 minutes. And since I'm an air traffic controller, you know, I do a bunch of things at one time, no big thing. So when Suzanne came on, she was told by the announcer that Dennis is online. She goes, hi, Dennis, who do you want to talk to? And I said, my son. And I wrote down, I looked at the clock right away, and it was 8:36 in the morning. So I wrote 8 semicolon 36 backslash 24-9, which is another way of saying that. 8:36 in the morning or 24 minutes to 9. That's when she says, hi, Dennis, do you want to talk? So I went on. She connected with my son. I was a mess. You know, afterwards, I just couldn't wait till my wife got home that afternoon to play the tape for her, to let her see. There were several misses on this that I talk about in the book. But as my journey went on, I realized these weren't misses, that a reading can be for somebody else at the same time.
Yeah.
And what I mean by this is Sean had another brother like Travis, almost the same age, through his mom and his stepdad, through his mom. And when a medium is getting information from somebody wanting to talk to his father, she doesn't know, is that his father, is that the stepfather, or things like that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know that.
Yeah. When we were readers, we normally don't say your stepdad's here, your father's here. We actually will say your father figure or father here.
Father figure, right.
So basically, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so as that went on, I mean, when I hung up the phone, wow, I was just flabbergasted. So the weekend went on, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. A lot of stuff happened there, a lot of stuff that I documented that are going, wow, something's happening, which I won't get into now. We went to the seminar on Monday. Nothing happened. That was our first seminar, but I learned what a medium can do. Sitting, watching those validations hit the people and the tears and the crying and the emotion and everything of just that. You know, we walked out of there, we're in tears. We both were a little disappointed. We would have liked to have had a reading right there live,
yeah.
But we were happy that we had one over the radio. We were happy with that. So the next day, I'm playing that tape again to myself, just listening to it, because every time you play it once, you know, you're going to miss something. So I'm playing it again, and as I'm playing it, I'm looking down at a sheet of paper of the numbers, the times that I wrote, 8 semicolon 36 backslash 24-9, and I start looking down at it. I'm going, holy cow. I read it right to left. 9/24/68 was when he was born. The 3 and the 9 in there represent 3 for March when he died, 93 for the year he died. And the 3 and the 9 also represent his name, Sean, S-E-A-N. If you tag those to the letters in the alphabet, it totals 39. I had everything there but the number 14. Now, I didn't get that till a month later when my brother from Chicago came to town. We told him the story, and he did a little simple formula. And I won't tell the people what that is. You know, they can see it. But that formula and something that happened on our TV set about three, four weeks after this phone reading wound up in that person's book without my knowing it, unexpectedly, which was a validation to me another year later, finding this number theory in a published book. So that's how my number theory first started, with that reading, and I started thinking numbers at that point. And my awareness became quite acute, and it's gotten bigger ever since, because people at work or I deal with, they go, how did you get that out of that, just to see that? I says, I'm just so used to it now. It just pops right out after me.
Wow.
You know, and so like when I said earlier, like a license plate, just last year a movie called Just Like Heaven came out with Reese Witherspoon, and I think a gentleman was Mark Ruffalo, where she has supposedly died. They wanted to make you think that Her parents rented out the flat to a single guy. She comes back haunting this guy, not knowing she's dead, and then they have this little feud, kind of a comedy love story.
Yeah.
Well, like I said earlier, my son's buried in Warrior, Alabama. Well, we come walking out of the movie theater, my wife, I, and a group of people. She goes, look at the car in front of us. I said, what about it? She says, it's got Alabama license plates on it. She says, how many Alabama cars you see up in Seattle? I go, huh, not many. So as usual, I write down a few things. The very next day, my wife and I went out to the Puyallup Fairgrounds here in Seattle, and they had the Oktoberfest going on. And so we had a good time, come walking out, and I start to get in my car, and I go, wait a minute. I remember what happened the previous night. So I got back out, walked around, and there's another car from Alabama with the Alabama plates, only this time the expiration sticker said March. And Sean died in March and buried in Alabama. So to me, that was my son saying, hi, Dad, enjoy the movie about heaven, and I love the fair. See you later. It's signs like that. If you open up your heart and your spirituality, your psychic and spiritual awareness, just by studying this stuff and, you know, just being able to do it, it's, the messages you get like that just put a big smile on your face knowing they're around and saying hello to you like that. It just, I just can't really describe it enough to people.
Yeah, they're always around us. What I was going to say, too, is that now where did John Holland come into this?
Okay, John Holland came down a ways where I was on Suzanne Northrup's website and I was reading some email about people, and people were saying about this gentleman coming from Canada or something like that that was going to be on and mentioning some name, his name, and I had never heard of him. So naturally, I go to this website and find out, wow, this guy's going to be, you know, here within a certain amount of time. And he was another medium that I became involved with when he made trips to Seattle that progressed my story even farther. We wound up having a seven-person group reading around this gentleman. It's supposed to be eight people that I paid for. I admit that. I will pay to get some information. And one person couldn't make it, so it turned out to be seven of us. And this is talked about in the book, too. There was a couple of times we had been to seminars with John Holland. But this one was a special group reading right after a seminar, which was the seminar was on Saturday. This group reading took place on a Sunday. And we wound up going to that, and I was the first one he came to. And then I was battling with a lady next to me. Her daughter's name is Ashley. And after the reading, you know, he kind of came to us and told us he wants us to get together because there's so many similarities between our two kids. But they battled back and forth for, God, it must have been a good 45 minutes and stuff like that. And her and her mother and I have gotten so close together where I've tried to help her mother continue to move on. John Edwards coming to Seattle here in September, and she's going with us to the seminar. But she's got a memorial site for her daughter. It's, I don't know if you allow me to say this, but
sure,
it's www.ashleybergman.com. And it's a memorial fund set up for race car drivers getting killed. What she was a teenager doing the race car stuff. And she got into an accident where her body, her head came out and hit the concrete wall, which killed her. My son was killed in a single-car automobile accident off the freeway, hit a concrete pillar. So the way they died are similar. But Ashley has been so strong in my life that she has gotten myself and her mother together in emails back and forth helping each other. That on my kiosk card that I have up at the mall, I normally have the book and all the decorations up there, but I created what I call almost like a scene like heaven. I've got an easel that has a picture of the book on it, a giant picture of the book. I came across these ceramic or porcelain. It's a bench with two kids sitting on the bench, a little boy, little girl. The little girl's looking over the boy's shoulder, and they're reading the book. And I saw that, and I told my wife, I says, this will be perfect underneath our easel. I says, we can create a scene that people will walk by, envision maybe their little kids that they've lost. And here are the kids reading the book, you know, and the girls pointing to a page, and that book would be our book you know, kind of a heaven scene. And I decorated it with a lot of ferns and things like that, a lot of greenery around it.
Yeah.
Well, just recently, about 3 months ago, we were up in, we were up north of the Tulip Festival. And I was in one of these old museums, stuff where they sell the old stuff. I found a picture of a boy and a girl standing side by side that looked like the ceramic figure. So I said, Wanda, this looks just like the kids. And the girl's giving the boy a little peck on the cheek. And I thought, that'll go great, putting the image.
Uh-huh.
And then about 2 weeks later, we were at a fair up here, and we found these people that write out the names, your first name, and it tells about your name. Well, I had them do this. It was a pretty glass curve thing that you could put the picture you want on there and then the names. Well, I thought, Ashley and Sean. Sean and Ashley. That'll go great in front of that on the bench with the picture. It all went perfectly. And then I've got my signage that I use to make people think. Even if they don't want to come over and talk to me because they're afraid of the topic, it says your loved ones are only a thought away. And you can see them walking by reading it, adults, kids, and I can almost guarantee they're thinking about someone who had just passed away. They come back, you can see them looking again, and you can see their lips going, you lost loved ones, you're only a thought away, and looking at the pictures. If they're not coming over to talk with me or buy a book, that's fine.
Yeah.
But they're thinking about their loved ones, and their loved ones are happy, and they're patting me on the back for getting them to open that door just a little bit and think about them.
That's beautiful. We're getting close to closing on the show. Dennis, is there anything you want to let the public know, like your website or your phone number or email address? You want to share with everybody?
Well, the best email address, well, there is one on the website, but the one that's quicker is DWTLS, and that's Dennis Wanda Travis Lee Spaulding. It's those initials, DWTLS at AIM, that's A as in Albert, I as in India, L as in Larry.com. My home phone, and you can leave a message if I don't answer it, is 206-870-4665. And the most important thing, go to my website, www.mysearchfortheafterlife.com. Go to the cemetery on the Internet. It's called the Garden of Flowers. This is free. You can place the name of your loved one on that site. And in the privacy of your own home, away from skeptics, you can talk to your loved ones and get rid of all of that stuff you wanted to say and never had a chance to say. There's soothing pan flute music playing Wind Beneath My Wings. It puts you in the mood, and hopefully you're going to feel that psychic hug from your loved one letting you know they're around you. So visit that site, send me the name, and we'll get it up there as soon as we can.
Wow. Well, Dennis, it's been a pleasure having you on the show for the very first time here on bbsradio.com. And I've had a really great time talking to you and interviewing you. And also to let everyone know, next week on Spiritual Journeys with White Sky Club, we're going to have Kevin W. Smith, who actually has his own radio show, Kevin Smith Show. We're going to have him interview him regarding gods in the garden and what the Bible represents to him and how he understands the theory of it. That's next week, and that's going to be on the July the 26th. Pardon me. Dennis, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and if by some chance, if anybody ever wants to make contact with him, they can also contact me under whiteskycloud@yahoo.com. If you're unable to get a hold of Dennis, get a hold of me, and anyone wish to send any comments, please give us a call as soon when it's possible, and we'll get back to Dennis and anyone else who wishes to be on our show, to be interviewed, let us know. I'm looking forward to having a chat with you. Anyways, we're going to be close to that closing time. Dennis, I'd like to thank you very much for being here. And the book that he's written is called My Search for the Afterlife. And I'm looking forward to seeing the second book come out.
Yeah, a lot of people have been telling me that. So I'm trying to get on it. But I got to get some of this advertising stuff behind me first on the first. And then the second one's coming out right away then.
Excellent. Well, Dennis, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Mine too, Derek. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Great show.
Take care.
Bye.